This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Of course that was Kylie
with Locomotion. And why are we playing it, David?
We are playing that because if you've ever seen...
Well, besides the fact that we're Joy 94.9.
Yeah, because it's a staple for Joy. But if you've ever seen that video, and I think most people have seen the video of Kylie doing Locomotion back in the 80s, one of the dancers in the background thrashing around having the time of his life is Philip Adams, who is sitting opposite. Now, hello, Philip, and you're going red, you're getting embarrassed again. Every time you come on, we play it.
Well, it's tradition now.
We've got to continue
the bloodline.
And you've got such a famous reputation as this cutting edge, you're like a contemporary dance person, and here we are, you're like reminding the world about your links with Kylie.
Well, I had to start somewhere in my career, and why not with Kylie?
Exactly, what a place to start.
I was actually a student at the VCA, aged, when I give it away, 1987. So, and I remember the talent scouts coming to the VCA to audition dancers for the Locomotion video clip. And I just happened to be, you know, in the front row doing my jazz routines that they were teaching and got the job.
Fantastic, fantastic. And do you actually tell people about it, or do you keep it a bit of a secret apart from the fact here? How did I find out about it? You told me off air. You told me off air, and then I've never let you, forget about it.
Oh, it's the first thing on my CV.
Oh, is it?
Why would you?
Why not?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Philip Adams, for those that don't know you, who are you?
Wow, what an esoteric question to start with. But, you know, I ask myself that every day.
Kylie's dancer.
Yes, backup dancer in the Locomotion. Well, you know, I've had many careers, I think, as a dancer, as I could honestly say as a business person, but also
where does a business person come into it? I don't know.
The knowledge and sort of the learning and the gaining of a career in the arts is one thing, but also learning how to manage a business is a whole different,
Because the fact is that you can be the most creative person and lose money if you don't do it properly.
That's right. So I call myself an entrepreneur as much as I am an artist and a curator.
Yep.
So, and today I have a performance and arts space that I manage and operate in South Melbourne called Temperance Hall.
Right.
So, you know, the story's had many interventions.
But we know you from Ballet Lab, though, don't we? That's where you really made a name for yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, I returned from New York in the late 90s with some of my other friends, Lucy Guerin and Rebecca Hilton, those are choreographers from my era, and dancers, and formed my own company called Ballet Lab. And it debuted with a performance, interesting enough, at the ATH2, for the listeners who remember, on Collins Street. There was a performance space upstairs at the old Athenaeum. It's now a library, I think.
I was going to say it's the library now, yeah. And, they still do actually perform it, but it's more... spoken word, not...
Yes, that's correct. They still have readings up there, etc. Maybe the Writers' Festival also used that space.
Yep.
Yeah, I premiered a work called Amplification, and it kind of set the bar. Like, it started to be... It was a very successful work in its day, and it had a big international success. So Ballet Lab was born at the Athenaeum in 1999, and the work, interestingly enough, premiered on the 9th of the 9th, 1999 at 9 p.m.
Whoa.
Call it what you will, just call it.
Now, you know, like, you've taken this huge leap, and talking about being an entrepreneur and a businessman, Temperance Hall, taking on a venue as a full-time venue for you, that's a bit of a risky business, isn't it?
Of course it has its challenges, and the, like all Yeah, businesses, they start out of necessity or the next stage of perhaps where you are in your career and you can expand as much as you can. And the hall came about through, well, a conversation really in the community that began the idea of what was the old Napier Street Theatre in South Melbourne. For those that remember it, it was also the home of Ant Hill Theatre, run by Jean-Pierre Mignon in the 70s, 80s and 90s, mm-hmm. and a very cutting-edge contemporary theatre company in their day. From the 90s onwards, it was in the hands of the community to which we would use it for rehearsal space, including myself. And it had a lot of mileage on it, and it was at the point of, you know, a hit and miss, really, not being condemned, but it was on the radar. And so if I just may tell the story a little bit here, Dave, because it is interesting how it has been resuscitated to its site today, is that the council investigated into, well, then who owns the property?
Oh.
Interesting.
Okay. Like
who actually owns this property? And it was discovered that it's Crown land, which is great. So it's basically owned by everybody. And under the architectural statutory of the state of Victoria, that the property be used only for the purpose of culture and community. So developers can't touch it.
Brilliant.
And in South Melbourne, that sort of property is real estate royalty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was then given over to Working Heritage Victoria. They also have many properties in their portfolio, including La Mama, the Courthouse, the Mint, Hoity Hall, which are great sites and wonderful Victorian preserved buildings today. The Temperance Hall was then part of their portfolio, and they put a lot of money into it to bring it up to OH&S scratch.
Sure.
Hence, I was the lucky person to get the tender and my organisation, and I've been there since October 2016.
Fantastic. And congratulations for being the one that they obviously looked at and thought, you know, like you're pretty much the obvious one for it, really. And Philip, what you're doing, and, you know, like, I just admire what you do so much, because you've taken contemporary dance and you've taken it beyond it. So it's actually installation. It takes on so many shapes and forms, doesn't it?
Well, especially for an artist like me, and as you say, speaking earlier about having an earlier career in New York for 10 years and returning home in the 90s, they were really informative years around the investigations, I should say, of my career today. And they were formed by the art world and the visual art world and the cinema world and the fashion world, and also, clearly, the contemporary dance world and the postmodern canon of the downtown denizen of who was a hot property at the time. And I probably danced with them all at some point. And so all of that information I sort of harnessed and began, well, my investigation of what, you know, my interest in choreography was in the 90s, and it was decidedly a reaction against postmodernism, but also an intervention of the queer conversation that had not yet been quite developed in Australia. If we look back at where queer Australian contemporary dance choreography has its origins, it's quite difficult to trace, and it does sit within the framework of some of the 90s and some of the 80s and 90s of more club and subculture underground. However, it hadn't yet been had a place in contemporary dance from that moment onwards. So I guess I'm not saying I'm responsible for that, but I started to explore the ideas of queer paradigm within this framework and have built that reputation, you know, as to be a queer elder today or a senior of dance. And I kind of like take that with sort of in many ways.
Yeah. And what I'm loving is that this is your first time that you've actually done a little mini season for Midsummer.
Yes, it is indeed.
And how many pieces are there?
Well, proud to announce in this program we have four independent, local queer arts practitioners, and also practitioners that do not also identify as queer. So it was part of the broad topic of conversation that when I was curating this program, that it have an inclusivity and conversation around what queer is represented, what the representation of queer is today.
Yep.
So there's four works in the program.
Right, okay. And what are they? What are they called?
Well, the Saturday night we have a one-off performance by Luigi Vesco, and Luigi is a looking at the queer ghetto, the Salon, and bringing a lot of his posse together. And there's a happenstance and a circumstance around that. So we're looking at here kind of a party-style environment with a kind of sophisticated edge to it, but it's also a loose cannon of problems and ideas when queer ideas come together and how they're built live in a performance site, or whether they're not, they're just elaborated in the moment. All of a sudden, a performance occurs and you have to spread quickly in order for it to occur. So, and a DJ, etc.
A DJ, and it finishes sort of as in a little dance, dance party. Yeah.
Also on the program, some of the viewers might know Christos Lanou. Listeners might know Christos Lanou. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Christos has been a performance maker for many, many, many years in Melbourne, and many provocations also have been explored in his work, both internationally as much as it is here. He can present here in Melbourne. And he has made an installation projection work in the upstairs studio called The Naked Servant. And it's two bodies that disappear and appear within the framework of the old Victorian doors on the upper floor studio. And it's really a stunning piece, yes, I would say. We will also be presenting a double bill program, which seems to work really well at Temperance Hall, which we're riding off the back of how successful the double bill was in the Melbourne Fringe last year. And they're two works by Harrison Hall and Samuel Harnett Welk.
Okay, fantastic. And this guy that you've got sitting next to you, Andrew, what's his involvement? Hello, Andrew.
Hi.
So what's Andrew's involvement? Tell us, Andrew.
Okay, so I'm participating in the Venusian Slip, which was a work that Harrison Hall premiered in Melbourne Fringe in 2018. And there's four performers, three young, able, virtuosic dancers, Harrison Hall, Harrison Richie Jones and Luigi Vesco, and then there's me as well, who's a little bit older and a little less virtuosic. But we made the work together over a series of mostly nighttime developments in 2018 and a residency at Bundanon property in New South Wales. And Philip very generously invited us to represent it and recontextualise it at Temperance Hall, which is an extremely different space to where it was before.
Right. And your background is that you're a visual artist.
Yeah, well, my earlier career is as a clothing designer, fashion designer. I worked for a number of different companies. I think my crowning achievement was probably a collaboration between the company I worked for and Channel 7 and Kmart, which was a label that was called Summer Bay, and it had a very glorious...
Is that Home and Away or
something? So
I don't pretend you don't know, David.
No, that's one show I haven't watched, but I thought Summer Bay, I think it's Home and Away.
Yeah, so we had some great photo shoots with the young actors that were up and coming, and they'd wear the clothes, and I think we get to participate in the catalogue and design aqua and pale pink tops with hibiscuses and maybe waratahs, I can't even remember.
Yeah,
things with frills on them.
Wow, fantastic.
Andrew is such a aficionado of the contemporary dance.
So
company's costume design today. He's being very modest.
Yeah,
his repertoire. Amazing.
Costume design as well.
Well, that sort of came up. So I studied a couple of masters in visual art at VCA, which was where I met Philip. And my sort of projects skewed really heavily into ideas around choreography and contemporary dance. And then as I became more involved in that world, I was invited a lot to do costume design for different projects.
And now you're on the other side.
Totally on the other side.
Absolutely hysterical. So to find out more about your shows during midsummer, you can either go to temperancehall.com.au or the Midsummer website and find out. Look, people, do yourself a huge favour and go and see something that Philip Adams is involved with, because he's an extraordinary man doing extraordinary things. Temperance Hall, it's in South Melbourne, in Napier Street.
That's right.
In Napier Street. Just Google it, you'll find it. And Anthill Theatre, a lot of people know that as well. Thank you so much for coming in. and happy midsummer to you.
Oh, you too, Dave. It's always a pleasure to be on Joy.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.